So welcome to this episode of Eurobytes of Sunday, the 7th of December, 2025. And this extraordinary year is coming to an end at a gigantic pace. So much having happened that we never thought possible. I want to hone in, and as you will have recognized by now, it's me alone. Do not worry, the previous format of Eurobyte is not dead. We're just rejiggling our schedules of being dads, having new jobs, actual jobs in the private or at least productive economy. It becomes more and more challenging syncing our agendas, but we're going to do that soon, and you will see Eurobytes very, very soon in the previous format with Fabian Lucas, myself, and our generous host, L. Todd Wood. But today, once more, you just have to accept me, just myself, as little innocent me as the commentator, soliloquying about certain things. And I'm going to hone in on two issues, which are essentially the same issue, two different sides of the same metal, meaning censorship and bullying in the democratic process, and both in Scotland and Germany. Now, those who tuned in last week of you will remember that the youth organization of the German quote-unquote far-right AfD reconstituted after its previous organization had to be shut down because one of our most potent internal spy agencies, the Constitutional Protection Agency, said it was certified that they were far right. And so there's now a new reconstitution. And as you might remember from last week, Antifa descended in force on that conference in the lovely student town of Gießen and blockaded roads, attacked AfD members, and every now and then the police did crack down on that. But now that gradually the fog of war lifts, in a lot of ways that appeared, and there was lots of talk of police brutality against Antifa, but now that the fog of war is lifting, we're seeing, yes, the police in certain areas did actually do something about the attacks on the conference of a party being part of the democratic process. But in a lot of side streets, country roads and such were blocked in essence by Antifa without the police doing anything about it or being able to do anything about it. And there were conference participants who reported that they traveled in from a nearby town, and something that ordinarily would be a 25-minute drive, a 15-minute drive, took them 11 hours to evade all the Antifa roadblocks, and a lot of other quote-unquote civilians were caught up in that. And that's always when you can tell that a state is in crisis, when it can no longer enforce the law, when it can no longer protect its subjects. And rightfully, people are asking, what is it actually that we're paying the state for? What is it actually that the state has been entrusted with the monopoly of force? And mind you, the monopoly of force is a lot higher in Europe, where we're talking about a largely disarmed population. Unlike in the United States, where you always have the Second Amendment to fall back when the First Amendment fails. But we don't have that. And so the media echo on the attacks on the car party conference are as predictable as they're boring. So the CDU, remember our conservative party, reported that in their estimation, the AfD youth organizer had provoked that reaction by Antifa by hosting the conference. They exercised the legitimate democratic right to host such a conference, but that was a provocation. So, okay, that's an interesting take on generally how democracy is run in general and in Germany in particular. But another interesting take was by Germany's Süddeutsche Zeitung, the Southern German newspaper, which is our version of The Guardian, insufferably liberal, insufferably Karen-like, sort of, yeah, sort of, if the top 50% of public currents in the United States had a media outlet, it would be The Guardian or would be the Süddeutsche Zeitung. And the Süddeutsche Zeitung had interesting takes other than saying constantly before this party conference, saying how dangerous it was and we cannot tolerate this and how can we turn a blind eye on this? It's happening again and all of that. But they had a couple of interesting takes as well, so showing that we're not only losing these days, we might actually be slowly winning. And the Süddeutsche Zeitung had a remarkable statement saying, after 10 years in which we tried to get basically correct views and societal policies through woke has failed. I mean, we were basically right. We just used the wrong means. And the whole identitarianism also was not good. I mean, we all tried to do the right thing, but how we went about it, we might have alienated a lot of people. Like, well, who thought it? Like telling men that their basic innate gender characteristics were toxic, telling particularly white men that basically, and white people in general, they were all racist, and pushing all kind of other agendas. Well, if your kid who cannot legally get a tattoo decides to change his gender, then by all means, you're a terrible person and a fascist if you try to prevent your kid from doing that, and you should be reported to the authorities. Well, who would have thought that that would create a certain backlash and that none of the mainstream parties spoke out against it? So that's suddenly a party that the mainstream, and particularly the mainstream newspapers like Karen Incorporated, the Süddeutsche Zeitung, did not like that this party would thrive. Well, who would have thought? And speaking about free speech and generally a lot of quote-unquote democratic newspaper outlets, democratic parties speaking about blocking party conferences and prohibiting parties, because we have to save democracy by prohibiting parties and preventing their gathering. Well, living in Scotland is probably the most challenging part of the UK when it comes to free speech and when it comes to blockading a new party on the horizon. And I live in an idyllic Scottish village, and there is an even more idyllic country pub with direct view onto the water, onto the North Sea. And that pub was going to host a small gathering of the local chapter of Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party, which, well, you guessed it, is characterized as far right. Whereas if you actually look, Nigel Farage is such a boomer, and it's painful. He's an old Thatcherite. So hardly far right. And, you know, his number two is of Bangladeshi origin, and this party is hardly far right. Other than, well, they're speaking about mass deportations now of people who are legally in the country, which is not far right in the rest of the world, not far right in 99.99999% of human history, but it's deemed far right. If people en masse enter your country uninvited and consuming a lot of resources and committing crime at rates far above the level of the native population that you think about deporting them en masse, well, that is deemed far right. Well, interesting enough, in our village, there is a village Facebook group where you get all kind of good news, like, oh, there's an interesting country fair going on, or there is a pop-up shop for, you know, home-baked cakes or whatever. Interesting stuff. And then suddenly somebody posted there had been leaflets in a nearby town distributed by Reform. Ooh. And they said they're going to use that bucolic country pop to host the conference. And then suddenly you saw mostly all the Karens descending on it. Sort of, we cannot turn a blind eye on this. And this is such an inclusive and nice pub. And therefore, because it's so inclusive and nice, we need to prevent certain people from meeting there. And obviously, some valiant villagers that pointed out, well, didn't you just say it was valiant and nice, valiant and welcoming to all, but not to them? And then obviously people jump on that and, well, we cannot be tolerant against the intolerant, and you know, you've heard it all before. So end of the story, that particular gathering did not take place. The village pub, well, pubs have it difficult enough in the United Kingdom with labor ratcheting up minimum wage and inflicting all kind of taxes and regulation on pubs so that pub didn't have any stomach of facing a boycott or protesting people and said, look, it's
your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
It's not for us. Interesting enough, when you looked at that Facebook group, what is always a remarkable but unsurprising feature of the left is they always pretend being the friend of the working man, friend of the little guy. And the nearby town where they distributed the leaflets that made people aware that this gathering was going to take place is, well, I think has the reputation of being a rough place, whereas I think it's mostly unearned. Some parts of that town have rough areas, but the people are still great. But it's got other really nice areas, but it's probably more working class than the village where I live, where it's half the people have moved from bigger cities and have very urban occupations, government positions and such. And then in the comments was like, of course, in such town, of course, that's where they're distributing the leaflets. So there was this classicism, that snobbism again in there by these open and inclusive mainstream leftists against actual working people when they air their grievances. Oh, no, of course, it's those naughty fellas again. That was an interesting bit. At the same time, I mean, you know, given that smaller places, villages are much closer than, say, suburbia or the cities, I want to say a thing that the people who instigated against the reform meeting there, I mean, I know many of them, and they're terrific people. They're nice people. But if you're being prepped by certain media, well, all mainstream media outlets, be that the BBC that essentially has to force people to pay for it, or be that the Guardian that tells you that fascism is around the door at any minute, well, of course you're going to move against that. And what we must not forget as part of our movement, we live in their world, in the mainstream world, and we know what they think. We actually like most people, but they don't live in our world. They don't read our publications. They don't listen to CD media, even though I wish they did. And therefore, it's a lot easier for them to be misled that the other side are terrific, whilst we know, by and large, that even the most annoying Karens, most of them are actually good people. Not all, but most of them. And most of the people in that group that said, well, we can't turn a blind eye on them, they're well-meaning. They're good people. I like them. And so therefore, our job is just communicating, holding podcasts like this. And never forget that they have never heard our sort of arguments. They've only heard the strawman argument, the simplified version. They're hateful people, and they don't like foreigners, and they don't like poor people, which, you know, that couldn't be further away from the truth. And yeah, I leave you with that thought. I mean, there is probably a very biblical tape, love thy enemy. I'm not going to use that for Antifa. I'm sorry, there are limits to that saying. But well, no, actually, I mean, a lot of the decent people who prevented in a misguided but well-meaning way the reform gathering aren't the enemy. They try to do what they've been told is right, and hopefully they're going to discover alternative narratives to what the Guardian and the BBC and God knows what other rubbish papers or media products they consume. And with that, I leave you. I think very often it is easy that our movement in Germany, in Scotland and the UK can become quite negative, but ultimately we come from a place of love, and even if we're being attacked, we should try not to hate the other side unless they actually viciously attack us. Well, even then we shouldn't hate them. We should just do what we need to defend ourselves. But we must not forget that the vast majority of the other side are good people of the what we come to consider the civilian. It's the hardcore ideologues that are well-funded by government money, like the BBC extorted government money from poor pensioners. And the likes of George Soros and such on the Open Society Foundation. But watch this space. Interesting things are happening in Europe when even the German version of The Guardian is saying woke has failed. We need to be a bit more careful. And the next couple of weeks, hopefully, Fabian, Lucas and I will have synchronized our schedule and have a gathering, and interesting stuff is happening. We have proudly seen our kind host of the show, L. Todd Wood, being in the briefing room of the Pentagon and asking the right question about what's actually going on in the Caribbean. Is another war at the horizon? Wasn't that what we kind of voted against? And more stories about the outrageous censorship, where a woman had been assaulted by a man, I believe of migrant background, physically assaulted, texted to a friend of hers that this F word, not the F word, but the F word that's often used as a slur against gay people. And again, in city media, we don't like slurs. We don't use slurs, but you know that the slur that I'm referring to a person who's punched you in the face by the F word is understandable. But that woman's house was raided, I believe it was somewhere in England, by 11 policemen as she was taking a bath. And none of the policemen made any moves to leave the bathroom immediately after seeing that there was a lady in the bathroom by herself. Thought nothing wrong about, watching over her. And that's kind of what we're dealing with. Hopefully, the governments, as they're failing, they're increasingly totalitarian tendencies, will be embarrassed by these kind of things, by these kind of excesses happening. And let's stay optimistic in spite of a lot of our movement facing such unnecessary hardship. Remember to like the other people and try to make our case valiantly, calmly, and hopefully transport to them that what they hear is the straw woman version, as they would admonish me now. You have a lovely Sunday. We're going to be back with tons of interesting topics from Germany, the United Kingdom, elsewhere in Europe. And have a blessed week and see you soon. Thank you.